You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This Wednesday, a report on the Resource Management Act called New Directions for Resource Management in New Zealand was welcomed by the government. It was commissioned by Environment Minister David Parker, and it recommended completely scrapping the RMA and replacing it with two new pieces of legislation, the Natural and Built Environments Acts and the Strategic Planning Act. James Tapp spoke to Minister Parker about this on yesterday's Wire, and now we'll hear from National's environment spokesperson, Scott Simpson.
And how would National make sure that these new pieces of legislation wouldn't meet the same fate that the RMA has had?
Well, that's the inherent challenge. So when the RMA was first passed back in the early 1990s, the view was that it was world-leading, that it was one statute that had both our primary planning legislation and our primary environmental protection legislation wrapped up in one Act of Parliament. And within that Act of Parliament, there were the inherent tensions that exist in every jurisdiction in the world about the pressures between development, building, construction, and progress, I guess, in terms of the built environment versus the need to protect, maintain and enhance our natural environment. Now, just because you separate those two important pieces of legislation doesn't mean that the tensions disappear. But what didn't happen after the Act was originally passed back in 1991 was we thought, or rather Parliament at the time thought, that the rest of the world would follow us, that the RMA was world-leading, that it was best practice, and that it would be the template for parliamentary jurisdictions like ours all around the world. Now, that didn't happen. And today, New Zealand is one of only literally two or three countries in the world that tries to incorporate its planning legislation and its environmental protection legislation in one statute. We think that actually it's time to look and see what other countries do, how they manage it, because these are issues that are not unique to little old New Zealand. These are issues that confront every nation in the world.
Now, what would putting these legislations into place mean for job creation, but also job loss? I mean, I've talked to a couple of people who are urban planners, and they're quite concerned that with these changes, it can mean that the consent process is cut out, and that's where most of their job is based.
Well, ironically, that's one of the great criticisms of the current situation we find ourselves in, is that there has been massive increase in the number of people employed in planning, in consenting, and in the legal fraternity. And that's part of the problem, is that the decision-making process now is so bedeviled by layer upon layer upon layer of bureaucratic and official involvement that it only adds cost, time and delay to any kind of consenting process. So I would imagine, yes, the people who have done very nicely, thank you, over 30 years of the current RMA model, lawyers, planners, consenting consultants, yeah, they probably are concerned because they've been able to build a very lucrative business out of the current RMA model.
So what could the future look like for them?
Well, the future could look like for them that they might need to adapt and adopt a different way of doing business that is actually one that is a permissive environment rather than a restrictive one, one that encourages people to do the right things in terms of the environment, but also one that allows people who want to build a garage or make an addition to their home or indeed even build a residential dwelling place to make that much easier, less costly and far quicker than it currently is.
Are there any concerns that with these recommendations, making it easier for people to go forward with building consent, that, say, people are wanting to build their own garages or do their own renovations or build sheds, that we could end up with faultier buildings going into the future?
Well, I think that there are always going to be a need for basic standards and regulations. And to their credit, this current government, and I don't often say this sort of thing, but I will give them credit for this, they have made some changes recently to the Building Act, which make it easier for people to get consents and approvals, in fact, in some cases not even requiring consents, for minor adjustments, modifications, and the construction of small units such as so-called granny flats and things like that. Now, I think that's sensible. I think that's prudent, and I think that makes a lot of sense. So I think across the Parliament there is a broad understanding that actually we have a real problem with the current RMA model, that it's not fulfilling its objectives both for our beautiful and really important natural environment, and it's not fulfilling its objectives in terms of planning and construction and development either. And when you have groups as diverse as the Environmental Defence Society and Business New Zealand and Infrastructure New Zealand and the Employers and Manufacturers Association essentially all saying the same thing, that the current Resource Management Act isn't working, then I think you've got a pretty stark, obvious understanding that something needs to be done, and it's not more tinkering. I think the last thing that New Zealanders want, or indeed people who are involved in the sector want, is more tinkering from Parliament. We don't want more amending pieces of legislation. What we want is actually to start again, and that's essentially what Tony Randerson's committee has suggested in its report yesterday.
And going forward, how would National make sure there's a balance between, well, building more houses, but also the environmental impact, and also looking after ancestral land?
Yeah, well, those are matters that are addressed in the Randerson report. It's a very long and detailed report, runs to over 500 pages, and I'll be the first to confess I haven't read the full 500 pages since the document was released yesterday, but what I am pleased to see is that the Randerson committee has actually gone so far as to offer a number of what appear to be really good suggestions about a way forward. So we've got an election coming up in literally a month or two's time, and the Environment Minister, David Parker, has wisely, in my view, said, look, these are matters that will be on the desk of whoever is the new government, and I think he's right about that. I don't think that anybody at this stage would want to make definitive policy proposals without having fully considered the report. I think it's a useful report, and we all probably need to take a little bit of time to digest and absorb the recommendations and go forward from there after the election.
So along with the new legislation, would National be considering putting in support systems for iwi when it comes to going through the consent process? Because we've seen with the RMA that there's a lot of pressure put on local iwi to get through all these consent processes when they're not even being paid for it.
Yeah, and so that's one of the challenges. My colleague Nick Smith, when he was Environment Minister in the last government, tried to fix that, and I think made some good progress. There are many issues where iwi actually don't feel a need to be consulted or involved. For instance, you know, do they want to be involved if you're building an extension to your deck on your home? Maybe not. But if it, for instance, involves issues relating to water, the foreshore, or issues that are of importance and significance to that iwi, yes, then of course they do want to be consulted and involved in the decision-making process. So it's a question, I think, of gaining an understanding of what are the issues that are relevant and important, and which ones maybe can be processed without a whole lot of time, cost and expense for everybody, whether that be iwi or the applicant who's seeking the consent.
And, I mean, because obviously a lot of this is theoretical in that the recommendations haven't been put in place, but if they were, what would these recommendations mean for, say, places like Auckland, where the Nationals put forward to build more roads, but also there's a lot of demand for housing and the potential to build quite large apartment complexes? What would these new recommendations mean for that?
Well, hopefully, and as I say, we, you know, we are still digesting the full detail of the recommendations. But I would hope that in a modern, sophisticated society like ours, we should be able to build the infrastructure, the roading, the housing, the commercial buildings and what have you that we need to have an efficiently functioning urban environment in a way that is not going to be bogged down unnecessarily in costly, time-consuming and unnecessarily expensive consenting processes. Now, that doesn't mean, I hasten to add, that doesn't mean that you just ride roughshod over those things, but there has to be a system and a process that is easier, more simple and less time-consuming and costly than the one that has developed in a relatively ad hoc basis over the last 30 years. And so effectively, I think what Tony Randerson and his committee are saying is now is a good time to push the reset button. Now is a good time to be looking at what the legislative landscape for planning and environmental protection will look like for the next 20, 30, 40 years. And now's a good time to be starting that process. These things don't happen overnight, by the way. It would be quite a big job to start creating a legislative framework to replace the RMA. But at some point, it's my view and the National Party's view that that has to be done. And it looks like Tony Randerson agrees with us.
So if you're criticising, or you're saying that it's going to take such a long time for it to be put into place, why is there so much criticism for the recommendation to take so long in the first place?
Well, I think these are big and important issues. And the point that Judith Collins was making was that the current Labor-led government left it until very late in their term of office to actually start this work. Our view is that they could have started it much earlier, should have started it much earlier, and if they had had a genuine desire to make a big change, they would have started it much earlier. So that's, I think, the criticism around that. Look, I'm reminded of the old, I think it's a Chinese proverb that says something like, an answer to the question, when is the best time to plant a tree? And the answer is 20 years ago. When is the next best time to plant a tree? Today. And so maybe there should have been change of a radical form suggested some years ago. There probably wasn't a political mood to do that. I think there is now, so let's get on with it.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.